everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day, and today we're going to be discussing J. Marion Sims. And I know you probably never heard of him because nobody talks about him, which is okay. But this episode is going to be a little bit different than my normal episodes because, unfortunately, this episode or this historical figure did a couple of dark things. While he made huge medical advancements, they came at a cost. So I kind of want to give a bit of a disclaimer that, yeah, it won't be all fun and games and blackberries and blueberries, which is okay, because history isn't always blackberries and blueberries. But I also want to preface this episode by saying that one of my coping mechanisms is making jokes or laughing when I feel uncomfortable or if something is awkward or something is weird. But I'm not the only person who does that. Oh gosh. Okay. Weird story. When my grandfather had passed away, you know, it was really sad, you know, just a mess. But when we went to his viewing, we had to sit there and we had to just wait until they got the body ready and all that. And my cousin and I, we just started telling jokes. And it was weird because it was just silence and tears. But here we are laughing and looking at it from the outside. It probably looks like we were trivializing what happened. But that's not it. It was just, that's how we coped. Because when something is so devastating, some people just, they kind of go into their shell and don't speak or they cry or this or that. But for me, when I need to cope with something, I laugh about it or I make jokes about it. So while I won't be making obvious jokes here, if there's weird laughs or anything, don't take offense. It's just how I cope with subjects that aren't conventional. So let me also say that I'm super excited to do this episode to get it done for a number of reasons. The first is that my neighbor is grilling, and he told me, my husband, the other day that he was going to grill for us, and I like his cooking. Now, normally in today's society, you can't really trust your neighbors, but my neighbor is pretty nice. Like, if he needs paper towels or toilet paper, we'll give him some toilet paper, especially during this whole panorama, you know, when things like that are scarce. And he mows our front lawn, weeds it, all kinds of stuff. And then one time I went out on a limb, and he asked if we wanted some chicken parmesan wings. Chicken parmesan, oh my god. Garlic parmesan wings. And me and my husband were a little skeptical, like. But let me tell you, these wings were so good. Like, I was about to pass out. You ever, like, oh my god. So anyway, when he said he was going to make us some ribs today, I was like, yes, thank you. So anyway, I'm sitting in my husband's like office room thing and I can see his backyard and I just see the smoke coming up from the grill. And that means this episode, we need to get it moving because ribs. I hope you have your floss ready because it's going to be falling off the bone. All right, let me chill out. Let's get into it. This is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day. So this doctor, Dr. Sims, he's responsible for developing a cure. Also, another disclaimer, I will be saying the word vagina a lot. So if that makes you uncomfortable, exit here, I guess. But he's responsible for curing or finding a method to, okay, I'm saying a lot. So when the baby comes out during labor, it usually just, you know, pops out. But sometimes the child's head can press upon the birth canal. And because it's pressing on there, the tissue dies because blood can't get to it. And it causes a hole to form. And it's called something. It says, I'll get in there. It's a weird medical name. Anyway, there's a hole that forms and it can sometimes cause incontinence. Sometimes you go to the bathroom yourself, stuff like that. And it was really common back then because, you know, there wasn't really a cure or a fix for when it happened. Dr. Sims also improved reproductive exams, and he was a huge pioneer in obstetrics. He also created the speculum used in vaginal exams. So for women, when we go to the OBGYN and she uses that little plastic metal thing and she sticks it inside so that she can take swabs, do her evaluation, he pioneered that and came up with it. He is also known for performing obstetric procedures on women without anesthesia. And that is why, one of the reasons why he is so famous. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, oh my God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing when we're talking about this. Oh my God. Sims was born in 1813 in South Carolina to John Sims and Mahala Mackey. I hope I'm saying that right. And was one of eight children. His first name was James, so James Marion. But he just goes by Marion. But I'll call him Dr. Sims here. He went to South Carolina College and he went to school to become a lawyer. His father really encouraged him to do that, but he didn't love it. So he ended up going into school for medicine. But he had an ulterior motive in doing that. He wanted to marry the town doctor's daughter, Eliza. I think her first name was like Teresa or something, but she went by Eliza. Eliza! Hamilton reference. He was mentored by Eliza's father and went to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in the United States, pursue his medical degree. After which he returned to South Carolina to open up a medical practice, but he didn't have a lot of success, so he moved on. And I was like, okay, whatever, not a big deal. But then when I did some more research, it said that he didn't have a lot of success because two infant children died in his care, so his practice kind of went kaput. Anyway, he moved to Alabama, opened up a practice there, and he did very well. He married Eliza in 1836. While in Alabama, he served, Alabama, United States. All the places I'm probably going to say are United States. The reason I say that is because I have listeners outside of the United States that might not know what I'm talking about. So anyway, Alabama. The dog has busted open through the door. Ed, can you get Boots out of here? Okay, sorry about that. Where was I? Oh, he served slaves and white clients. Ed!
What?
He's back! You have to close the door all the way because Boots busts in here.
He threw himself on the floor. Look at Socks. Socks, come on! Boots, get out of here, man!
You have to close the door all the way, baby. All the way. Thank you. Anyway, sorry. Sims. Boots, get out of here, Boots! You look at my shirt because it got sausage grease on it.
Boots, come on. Nah, let me stay with sausage grease.
Is that
Boots, come on, man. I ain't playing with you.
He created the Sims position after a woman who went into labor wasn't able to give birth the traditional way, which is on her back. He had her lay on her side, lifting her knee towards her chest, and then used a spoon to look into her vagina, which is the beginning of the whole speculum. Mm-hmm. The spoon to the speculum. Many women in the South experienced this whole bladder vaginal ripping, which resulted in, like I said, the uncontrollable need to pee and then the leaking of urine or feces. Eventually, he began to work on slaves, and that's not uncommon in the South, but performing like extensive medical procedures on slaves is uncommon. So this kind of came about because in 1820, the import of slaves from Africa wasn't happening anymore. I think it was illegal, which meant that enslavers needed to improve the livelihood of their slaves, which meant doctor's visits, substantial food, clothing, things to preserve their life. Because back then it was like if a slave died, you could just buy another one. But there's no, I mean, you can always buy and sell, but why is somebody going to sell you if they can't go and get the resource themselves? So you need to invest in your slaves. And that's where Dr. Sims comes in. He began working on the vesico-vaginal tears. I hope I'm saying that right. Vesico. We'll just call him... we need to do it justice. Vesico. I'm just going to go with vesico until Ed tells me I'm wrong because Ed's a nurse. So the slaves who had these tears were brought in by their owners because, you know, he's a town doctor or whatever. But it's kind of backwards because what Sims said, Sims is quoted as, quote, "If there was anything I hated, it was investigating the organs of the female pelvis," end quote. So it's like, why be a doctor? Because who's met a mean OBGYN? I know for a fact my OBGYN is very nice. Like, me and her, we share stories, we gossip, things like that. I've never had a mean OBGYN. And if you have, go get another one. Because if they're going to be down there, they need to be nice. Thank you. Although he operated on many slaves, there are three known slaves that whose names are known. Excuse me. Their names were Lucy, Betsy, and Arca. And again, there were many more. And these experiments took place in 1845 to 1849. And he performed at least 30 surgeries on Anarka alone. And there would be times where he would just be doing the same thing over and over and over and just practicing on her. It's one thing if it was just one operation, but it was, like I said, back and forth. Who knows if she had time to rest in between, if he was doing something every day. We don't know. Sims wrote in his autobiography, quote, "I made this proposition to the owners of the Negroes. If you will give me Anarka and Betsy for experiment, I agree to perform no experiment or operation on either of them to endanger their lives and will not charge a cent for keeping them." I guess technically he thought he wasn't endangering their lives, but I mean, I'm sure he messed up their quality of life. And then there's often times that I've seen people ask, like, oh, he was just a product of the times, you know. I don't think there's an excuse. There's this belief that blacks had a higher pain tolerance or felt significantly less pain than whites, so there was no need for anesthesia. But at the same time, I know he heard them screaming. They had to have been. I mean, he's got them sitting in these stirrups and he's cutting into these women. And if he's not cutting, he's probably sewing into them. He's investigating things and procedures where women would be knocked out. Or not knocked out, but they would be sedated. And he didn't do that for them. And if he thought that, he had to know that they were in nothing but pain. And I know that to be true because Sims writes, quote, that Lucy, one of the slaves, Lucy was a stupid thing. And her agony was extreme. Like, her agony was extreme, and I thought that she was going to die. After she recovered entirely from the effects of this unfortunate experiment, I put her on a table to examine. End quote. So he heard Lucy screaming. He knew that they had to be in pain and still did not give them anesthesia. And if we're really thinking about it, what slave could give their consent fully? Like, of course, they're going to say yes, so they don't face punishment. But is that really consent? Oh, come on and get on this table, slave. Okay, sure. But I'm not doing it because I want to do it. I'm doing it so you don't hurt me. That's not consent at all. And in addition to this, one of the women, I don't think there was a name, one of the women became pregnant by a white man during the time Sims was working with her. No one knows who the father of this child was, but the father was white. And this is medically unethical because she became pregnant in his care. Deidre Cooper Owens, a historian at Queens College, notes through her research that during this time he allowed this white man, if not himself, access to her body. That goes against all ethics. It goes against the Hippocratic Oath, end quote. So it's just in my thought process, I don't know if he had them in their house, in his house, or if they were locked up, or he had to go to their cabins and get them, but their enslavers put them in his care, thinking that they were going to get some sort of treatment, whether they were sedated or not. But while they're there, they're having sex with a white man. And in that time, if you're having sex with a white man, you're not doing it under consent. You're not. Like I said, you can say yeah all you want to, but it's not really yes. And if Sims was the father, which in my head is pretty likely, it's not only unethical, he's a rapist. And if he's not a rapist and he allowed someone to come in and rape them. He condoned it. Like, that's huge. To have a doctor that allows that or sees it and does nothing. I just think that's crazy. Eventually, he opened up a hospital in New York City that treated white women with anesthesia. He eventually becomes wealthy and he says, quote, that a lady of keen sensibilities, so inflicted and excluded from all social enjoyment, would prefer death, absolutely pined away and dead in consequence of her extreme mortification on ascertaining she was hopelessly incurable, end quote. So in his head, he laments with these women, these white women who have the same medical issues as the slaves, but because they can't enjoy social gatherings, they have the right to anesthesia. However, there's slaves who are working in the fields day in and day out with the same issue, and they don't get anesthesia. That's a huge issue. Okay, this is a different... I don't want to go too in-depth about my personal feelings, but it's mind-blowing to think that... And then it also justifies the fact that if you thought that these women need anesthesia, you understood that there was pain involved, yet you didn't do it with these black women. And it's just crazy. And I think even if you are a racist, you have to understand that pain is pain. And any human being, racist or not, I think would at least give some sort of pain reliever. Something. This guy was awful. After, when the Civil War began, Sims moved to Paris, where he was a doctor to European royalty. I think he even waited on the Empress of Austria. After the war was over, he moved back to New York, conveniently missed the entire war, and became president of the American Medical Association, which is really prestigious here. And he wrote his memoirs, The Story of My Life, in 1883, and died that same year. Quoting Deidre Cooper Owens again, she notes, these institutions that existed in this country, which allowed easy access to enslaved women's bodies, allowed certain branches of professional medicine to advance and grow and to become legitimate, end quote. Black pain doesn't matter to some. And even now, in today's society, 2021, black women are statistically higher to die during childbirth than a white woman. And it's oftentimes because medical professionals believe that black women can endure more pain. What comes to my mind is Serena Williams, who, I guess when she was giving birth to her daughter, she was experiencing something and she knew that something was not right in her body. And the doctors were just like, yeah, whatever, it'll go away. And Serena insisted that they checked this, and it turns out to be it was a life-threatening complication that they would have ignored had she not advocated and fought for herself. It makes me think that if it was a white woman who said that, oh yeah, I'm not feeling well, would they have investigated more? People of color are just so much more likely to die during these operations because there's a thought that they are stronger physically. And my two cents is, if you're in a hospital and you have a doctor who's not listening to you, ask for another. Ask for another, ask for another, ask for another. And you keep asking until you get the treatment you're looking for. You keep advocating for yourself. Especially in this time. You would think in 2021, we wouldn't have to advocate for ourselves so much because our doctors would. But sometimes they don't. And oftentimes they don't. And there are a lot of times no repercussions for their actions. I often think about back in undergrad, I took a class on maternity and things like that. And it was just the amount of statistics of death and color, persons of color, and the amount of times doctors insist on cesarean sections when they're not necessary, only to cut back on time. There was one account where a doctor, I think he or she didn't want to be identified, but they basically said that either themselves or people around them would often give women C-sections so that they could get home on time. And I want to get home on time as much as the next person, but a C-section is actually a major, major operation. Huge. And just trivializing that because you want to get home is not enough. And I remember my professor was like, ask questions. Because when you start asking questions, then stuff starts to unravel. Do I really need a C-section? What will become of me if I don't have one? What will become of me if I do? You have to be informed. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your baby. You keep asking. And I'm so serious about that. Like, I really advocate for women's voices to be heard, especially during pregnancy. It's important because it's not only your life, it's your baby's life. Because at the end of the day, these doctors are going to go home to their families. You might not. So please advocate for yourself. Anyway, back to it. I read one article. It was called J. Marion Sims, Why He and His Accomplishments Need to Continue to Be Recognized, a Commentary and Historical Review, written by Leonard Vernon. Oh my God, why am I getting like a little emotional? It really means a lot to me, this subject, especially during this time period. Oh God, let me talk about something else, because I'm a gangster and crying in a podcast, it's just a no-go for me. So we're going to change the subject. Anyway, back to the article. Leonard Vernon writes, quote, "There is a strong argument that recent attempts to remove Sims from history also have the unintended consequence of the contributions of not only the Black women who were his subjects in the development of modern obstetrical medicine, but the important role Blacks played in the development of other medical procedures." And I don't think anybody's trying to remove him from history, but I'm not glorifying what he did either. Because at the end of the day, without him, we would not have procedures to cure these fistulas. We wouldn't have the speculum that helps ease OBGYN's treatment. That's all fine and good. That's great. Wonderful. However, I'm not going to sit around and act like what you did was admirable at all. It came at such a high cost. All of this could have been done without suffering. But he chose not to. It doesn't take away the contributions of Lucy, Betsy, and Anarka, and all the other countless women whose names aren't named. They all made contributions, including Sims. But the difference is Sims, he doesn't need to be glorified at all. He doesn't need statues. He doesn't need pictures. He doesn't need anything. Anyway, Sims' statue was removed from Central Park, New York, USA in 2018 after protests and public disapproval. And my sister, she went to George Washington University in Washington, D.C. And she was saying that his was also removed while she went to school there. And I was also thinking to myself how medically unethical this was. Is how is Sims any different from Joseph Mengele? And for those of you who don't know who Joseph Mengele is, during the Holocaust, he operated on young children, twins, the infirmed, the elderly, those with mental disabilities who could not speak up for themselves. And he did terrible things to them, all in the name of medicine. Dr. Mengele caused immense suffering. I remember watching a documentary on two twins who were patients of Dr. Mengele. And they didn't even know what he injected them with. but it was enough to make them deathly sick as children. And one of the twins, she died from these, the doctors didn't even know what was inside her that was killing her. But they knew it was from those injections that she got from Dr. Mengele. Again, all in the name of medicine. And I know Dr. Sims would probably say to herself, yeah, I'm doing this in the name of medicine. Yeah, you're doing it in the name of medicine, but at what cost? I'm all for experimentation. I'm all for exploration. But you have to do it ethically, and you have to do it safe, and you have to do it in a way that honors those who you are working on. You have to. Joseph Mengele was a monster. And I think anybody who does research on the Holocaust, does research on what Hitler commissioned him to do, will say that he was positively, absolutely, 100% a monster. And yet for some reason, we don't say that Dr. Sims is the same. And do we say that because his patients were Black? And this is not a political broadcast. This is not a political podcast by any means. But in today's society, you have to wonder if people make choices to harm others systematically due to the color of their skin. Because 100 years ago they were, 50 years ago they were, 20 years ago they were. Racism and stereotypes are so intertwined with medicine, and it's a honest to God shame. But let me stop talking about Dr. Sims because he's had enough of my time. But I actually really enjoyed researching this episode. Not only just learning about Sims, but also just learning about or solidifying my knowledge in the discrepancies and disparities in the medical field because of color. I don't know why this subject bothers me so much. Maybe because I became so passionate about it in undergrad, and just seeing how many women died for no other reason than just laziness, or children come out with extreme disabilities for no other reason than just laziness, or sorry, the alarm went off. For no other reason than just laziness and not caring. And that's so, 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 so important. I think this is a good place to stop. I feel like this topic is so different than what I'm used to, because I'm just so excited and jovial to do any episode. And I'm excited and jovial to do this one too. But this one's so different in that you really have to watch what you say and make sure that you're honoring those who had to suffer. I think just talking about this and making strides and having the conversation is a perfect step forward. It is a huge step forward. Keep talking about it. Keep making changes where you can see them, especially in the medical field. Keep talking and advocate for yourself in all things, not just medical. In your life, in your career, everything. Advocate for you. There are Betsys, there are Lucys, and there are Anarchists in the world who have no voice. And they need a voice. And they need voices from people like you and I. So thank you so much for listening to this video. Oh, it's not a video. There I go again. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, because it really holds a special place in my heart. And this meant the world to me to present to you all. Thank you so much. Thank you for your support. If you like this episode, please be sure to rate, review, share it. Be sure to reach out to me on Instagram at Lady Billie Day. That's Lady B-I-L-L-I-E Day. And I love each and every one of you who's listened. Thank you. Bye.